This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org. Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Last week, a first-in-the-nation occurrence, New Hampshire received federal approval to reduce the number of required standardized tests in four of its districts, Sanborn, Epping, Rochester, and Sauhegan. This pilot program called PACE will cut by about half the number of Smarter Balance tests that kids in these districts were supposed to take, replacing them with projects, papers, and other in-depth assessments written by local teachers. The goal? A more accurate representation of what students really know. A more challenging, engaging process than fill-in-the-bubble testing, and much less of a disruption of day-to-day learning. But while the new program sounds like a welcome change for teachers, administrators, and students frustrated by current testing regimes, it remains to be seen whether this program will succeed in addressing all those concerns and whether it will last beyond the two-year pilot period. Today in The Exchange, a first-in-the-nation program tries a new approach on standardized tests. Let's hear from you. Your questions and comments are welcome at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests in studio. Ellen Hume Howard is here, curriculum director for the Sanborn Regional District, which is one of the districts involved in this pilot project that I talked about. Ellen Hume Howard, nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Nice being here.
And also with us, Aubrey Schoner Torres, researcher for the Northeast College and Career Readiness Research Alliance. She's also an assistant professor at St. Anselm College. And Aubrey, good to meet you, too. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And also with us, Sam Evans-Brown, NHPR's education and environment reporter. He's been covering this new program a lot. And Sam, thanks for taking time out. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, and Sam, I did want to spend a couple minutes just at the top with you figuring out where we're at with this thing, kind of setting the table for how this new program fits in. These standardized tests, the smarter balanced tests that everybody's been talking about, these are required under which law?
So it's No Child Left Behind, which is in fact still the law of the land. A lot of people who, if you were paying attention back when No Child Left Behind was first passed, it did have only a set number of years that it was supposed to run for before needing reauthorization. That period lapsed, and even though the law has expired, there was never a reauthorization that occurred. So Congress couldn't get it together to rewrite the law. And so it continues to be the law of the land, even though it has basically expired.
Well, that was interesting to read in your story, Sam, because even when I read it, I thought, wait a minute, No Child Left Behind? I thought that was, you know, yesterday's news. Just refresh us on the politics and the hopes of that law passed with bipartisan fanfare more than a decade ago.
Basically, the goal was to implement a regime of standardized testing that would be rigorous enough that you'd actually get some data to show parents how a local school is performing. And so it required standardized tests to be given in third through eighth grade and again in high school, multiple times, and it had to be a statewide test. It had to meet certain standards. In New England, we were using the NECAP. Many parents will be familiar with that term, the NECAP. We are no longer giving the NECAP. We've moved on to the Smarter Balanced, which is being given actually just this week. It's starting to be given at many New Hampshire schools. Where the politics are with No Child Left Behind is that once it expired, President Obama's administration said, you can apply for a waiver to get out from underneath the penalties that were imposed to schools that did not meet performance goals under No Child Left Behind. So this whole waiver process happened a few years ago. New Hampshire is now operating under this waiver that basically says, we're going to tweak a few things here and there, and it allows them to get out from, you know, before in No Child Left Behind, if you didn't meet the proficiency steps that were asked, you know, if X percentage of students weren't proficient in math and English by a certain grade level, the law said that you had to use X amount of federal dollars to do this type of program. And it became very restrictive. It was seen as sort of a penalty.
Yeah, adequate yearly progress. AYP, some people remember. And there were districts elsewhere in the country, I think, Sam, that were even threatened with shutdown, even shut down. I mean, there were some severe penalties that came with this thing.
Right. And so we're basically out from under the penalties because of this waiver process that's been de rigueur for a couple of years now. We've had it for 2 years. They're looking to refresh the waiver. It has to be redone every 2 years. And meanwhile, in Congress, they're looking at rewriting No Child Left Behind. But that process has, as tends to happen, stalled out. So, again, seems to be like the waiver is going to be the new, de facto way that education policy is set nationally for a while.
Well, and I want to bring our other two guests in as well, Sam. But one more, just sort of, again, setting the table question for you, please. How does what we're going to talk about today, this new program, this alternative to standardized tests, how does this fit in with the Common Core?
So it is aligned to the Common Core state standards. The Common Core is the set of standards that New Hampshire adopted along with many other states throughout the country. Those standards were actually, they were part of the waiver. Yeah, that was when under the waiver you had to look at, we're adopting college and career ready standards. And those could be any standard that met that criteria of saying, you know, it's going to get kids ready for college, it's going to get kids ready for a career. Most states just went with the Common Core because in New Hampshire, the policymakers will tell you they didn't feel like they need to reinvent the wheel. Someone had already met a set of standards that they thought were good, so they adopted them. So these new assessments are aligned to those standards because all of the schools in the state are teaching those to those standards. They're crafting curriculum that will meet those standards.
This is the smarter, balanced test that, as you said, some kids are starting to take this week. That's why we're talking about it. This is a big deal, kicking off a whole new testing regime.
It is, and we'll see how they like
it here in New Hampshire. Okay, and one last thing, Sam. You said the Common Core, which New Hampshire adopted. Common Core is often criticized as yet another federal regime. But you said no. New Hampshire adopted it, so it's not exactly coming from D.C.?
So it was written by a group that was formed, the Council of Chief State School Officers. It's a group of all of the heads of the Departments of Education from all the states. They created this group that went and crafted it. The question is, in terms of the federal government, to what degree was there sort of arm twisting going on to get states to adopt this? I think a lot of education policy folks in New Hampshire will tell you that they liked the standards if the federal government was requiring them in order to apply for grants, which, you know, the race to the top grants, this is what they say. That was just sort of an added bonus. They liked the standards enough to begin with, regardless of that criteria.
All right. So I want to turn to our other guests as well and the innovations that you folks are working on, Ellen Hume Howard, again, with the Sanborn Regional District. As I said at the beginning, you and three other districts got an exception to the standardized tests, probably hallelujah among a lot of teachers and students. But this is sort of aimed at not doing standardized tests. Why is that important? What's wrong with standardized tests? Sam said that, you know, they're invented to give us data, which everybody would agree is important to know how our kids are doing.
Yes, and I don't think the standardized tests are actually the enemy. The issue with the standardized testing is that it's too much of a good thing, that there's a lack of balance. And when you look at students' progress over time, it's important to have standardized benchmarks. And there are appropriate places to have that come in to help a district measure the progress of their students. But most teachers will tell you that they know their students are competent because of the assessments that they do in the classroom and the work that students produce in the classroom when they care about their work, when they care about the unit that they're studying. So the PACE project is really about standardizing how we approach measuring competency within the four districts together, because we have all agreed to the same assessments and the same rubrics and the same expectations.
And you can share information
that we share way. Information that way. And we've scattered smarter balance at key grade levels to help us with benchmarking. So we're not against standardized testing. We just feel there should be a balance. So a student's experience is varied as far as assessment goes.
So you're sort of hitting on this, but I want to ask you a little bit more. So too much of a good thing. It's interesting to hear you talk about standardized tests as a good thing, mm-hmm. but too much. What's too much?
testing every single year, spending what will be the equivalent of between 7 and 8 hours taking a standardized test this spring for many of our students, when it is longitudinally appropriate to look at every 2 years with assessments like that, a benchmark, filled in with quality performance assessments and other assessments that we do at the classroom level and at the district level. Standardized tests also are removed from a student's experience.
Day-to-day
They're an event. They're an event outside. They don't connect to what student learning is for the student. So their level of engagement, student engagement, and some people argue sometimes that it's only high school students that don't invest in standardized testing, but I'm here to tell you that students at every grade level know that a standardized test really isn't about their grade or their classroom experience. It's an event outside. It's a snapshot. And
Are you saying they don't take as much care because they know it isn't tied to their
grade? I think most kids try their best on things, but their investment is, you know, it's questionable sometimes.
Yeah, I think you're smart to question that, that investment. What's wrong and what's right, Aubrey? Again, you're an education policy researcher. What's wrong and what's right about standardized tests?
Well, I think Ellen hit on it very well. It's not necessarily the test itself, but how they're being implemented. And the fact that they were being implemented every year and that districts and schools are being held accountable for those, there was something really wrong about that, especially New Hampshire has moved to a competency-based approach. It's going to be required of every district by 2017. And when talking with educators and administrators across the region that are also looking at competency-based approaches, this whole idea of a standardized test that's at a set time, students have to take it here, they can only take it in this testing window, is really antithetical to an approach where you're actually allowing students to take the time that they need to learn the material. And that's the whole focus of a competency approach, is really allowing much more flexibility and personalized instruction. So from a competency-based approach, these standardized tests were really, they're not working well in that kind of approach. I think we all have experiences ourselves with standardized tests. I teach at St. Anselm, and when we talk about standardized tests, the students always regale me with their wonderful negative experiences with standardized tests. So I think
what do they say?
You know, just really stressed. You know, I mean, some of them don't take it as seriously, and they tell me that. You know, yeah, it was a fluff day.
They make patterns with fill in the bubble.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Did I do too many C's in a row? Now I need to do a D. Really second guessing themselves and not really not getting the results until 6 months later. That's a real problem for teachers. It's a real problem for students, because how do you use that data effectively to really, you know, help your instruction and inform your instruction? So I think that's what we all think about with standardized tests, but they are a really good benchmark, I think.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that. Yeah, just before you said that, I was going to say, geez, why don't we throw them out the window?
Right.
But we'll talk about that after a short break. And then what these four districts are attempting to do. We'll take your questions and comments as well at 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at a new program in four New Hampshire districts which just received federal approval to reduce the number of required standardized tests. It's a pilot program called PACE, the first in the nation. It'll replace some of the Smarter Balance tests that many New Hampshire students are starting to take this spring. The newer assessments will be written by local teachers. In doing so, the hope is to make testing more representative of what students know, less of a disruption to day-to-day learning. We're digging into this hour in The Exchange, and we'd love to hear from you. The Exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sam Evans-Brown, before, again, we talk more about these newer assessments, it is a reaction to standardized testing and some of the problems that Aubrey and Ellen brought up. What do you think about what Ellen says? Standardized tests are too much of a good thing.
Well, there's a couple. I think that comes from a couple of places. One is that a lot of the countries in the world who you look at who do really well with their students, do, you know, their kids perform quite highly on standardized tests, they do much more infrequent testing of their students. They do test, but it's not this every year, third through eighth grade. And so what a lot of policy experts say is that, you know, you don't have to do it every year. You can do it every few years, and then what we know from the data, you're just going to sort of interpolate and say this is what is probably happening in those intervening years, and basically that testing is such a disruption. I think a lot of the pushback to standardized testing has come from the penalties that have been associated with doing poorly on the tests. But that aside, you can also look at the disruption that it comes. I mean, Smarter Balance is being administered this week. It has to be administered on a computer. There's a 2-week window, I believe, is about the length of time in which you're allowed to take the test. But you only have so many computers in a classroom.
Well, yeah, I was going to say. That's a lot of computers.
Right. So kids are sort of rotating in. It's 7 to 8 hours of testing, and they're just, you know, it throws off the whole rhythm of the school day. And so they've got 2 weeks in which, you know, their actual learning that's supposed to be happening in the building is sort of off kilter.
Wow, that is disruptive. If you don't, I mean, it'd be one thing to have, you know, all 20 kids taking it at the same time, but if you've got 5 here and 6 there.
And it depends on the resources that each school has, depends on how many computers they have, how much of a disruption it is. But in general, that's the issue that I think a lot of people are reacting to.
All right. Again, our number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And Tom's calling in from Windham. Hi, Tom. You're on the exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm just really curious why the SAT, which is a great measure of education progress, takes 4 hours. The PSAT takes about 2.5 hours. Why do we have to have our juniors doing 8 hours of testing? And when you bring it down to sixth graders and whatever other grades, lower grades, do it, that seems an insane amount of time.
It is a long time to sit there and do a test. You're absolutely right, Tom. Can you answer that, Ellen Hume Howard?
Yes, we agree. And part of our original proposal was to incorporate the PSAT and the SAT rather than the Smarter Balance. In the first round of PACE, we were required to keep Smarter Balance in. But in the long term, it would make a lot of sense for districts across the state to look at adopting the SAT.
Yeah, because, I mean, by hour 3, 4, 5, 6, certainly 7 or 8, you're just not putting your best brain effort into it.
No, and I think, too, that the SAT hits exactly what we're talking about student investment.
Do you want to jump in on that, Aubrey, as well?
Yeah, and I know in Maine they actually do use the SAT exam as one of their main testing points. So I think it's definitely something that, you know, New Hampshire is clearly considering, and I think it's a really good point.
Okay, and just to super clarify, so you don't have to use the Smarter Balanced to meet the requirements. You could use the SAT, Sam?
You can use any test that the federal government has approved to be as being rigorous enough. There's two major testing consortiums. There's a Smarter Balanced and what's called PARC. Smarter Balance is, I think, at this point, the largest one. Most states are using it. There are also a lot of states that have written their own test. So there's that. But also, just to the SAT point, the Department of Education in New Hampshire is asking to use the SAT for the high school test. They think that they're going to get approval. That will probably come in time for next year, but you'd still have the Smarter Balance be the test for 3rd through 8th.
Okay, 3rd through 8th. I was going to ask you, Sam, if this did apply to the younger set. All right. Well, it's a great question, Tom. Thank you very much for calling in. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Aubrey, I did want to ask you about something you said earlier, this competency-based education that you mentioned. You almost seem to be saying that New Hampshire's almost on two different tracks. We're on this competency-based education day-to-day track, which is sort of the new thing. But then we have this older thing, which is these, you know, these standardized tests. What is competency-based education?
Well, competency-based education, it's got a number of different tenets to it. The most important, I think, is that students advance based on mastery. So the real focus is really understanding where students are at and then providing them the opportunities to move on, rather than sitting in a math class for a full year. If they've demonstrated that they know that material in 3 months, great, move them on, instead of really
really focusing on how much time students are spending learning something, how much do they really know, and let's get them moving forward if they need to, or giving them more time if that's what they need to master that material. So that's one of the basic tenets of it. There's also a huge component of assessment. Assessment's key in order to know if they've demonstrated
right.
mastery, you've got
are
to be
they competent
it.
In
right,
this
exactly.
field.
And then a greater flexibility in terms of where students are learning, so offering them opportunities outside the classroom and really giving them authentic experiences to learn those kinds of materials. So those are some of the major tenets of competency education. The main focus tends to be on demonstration of mastery, and that's the other ones tend to fall off. And Ellen and I were talking earlier, there's a great variety of how competency education is defined, in part because people aren't always paying attention to all of those tenets. And I think the PACE program, part of the reason that New Hampshire's really pushed for it is because it's much more in line with a competency-based model. If you're doing performance-based assessments that are really, you know, designed by teachers that are in the classroom, they're able to use those to really measure if what and if students have mastered those skills. So it's much more in line than a smarter, balanced approach.
So let's talk a little bit more about that then, dig into it. And I'll turn to you first, Ellen, because, again, Sanborn is one of the four districts that got a waiver mm-hmm. to not take standardized tests year in and year out. Okay, so in the off years, Ellen, where you're not doing that standardized test, what are you doing to show that competency that Aubrey talks about?
Well, as a competency-based organization, our teachers are always doing performance assessments, which are at a depth of knowledge. They expect students to transfer skills across content and disciplines. And for PACE, there are summative assessments or performance assessments, PACE assessments, at the end of each year that measure what competencies or the standards for that year should be.
And by the way, excuse me for interrupting, we need to say what PACE is.
Oh, PACE is Performance Assessment for Competency Education.
Okay, that makes sense.
And when in the PACE project, grade 3 takes the English Language Arts Smarter Balance, but they do a math PACE assessment.
So what does that look like?
It's a PACE assessment that's been developed by the third grade teachers with math experts and working with CCE, the Center for Collaborative Education, and the Center for Assessment in designing a question or a problem that aligns with the core grade 3 standards for math. And the teachers are sharing that assessment, and that's the assessment they're going to score for themselves as teachers in the classroom to go into their grades, for their grades. But then the assessments will take on another life when they are copied and brought to a larger forum where they're scored for accountability.
So it's not a standard test, you know, answer this question, answer that question. It's a bigger problem that you have to work on to show that you really understand
this
thing.
Yes, it's a multi-part question. In ELA, for instance, students
ELA
will...
ELA is English
Language
Arts.
Students will be required to read several different pieces of nonfiction text, to watch videos and take notes, to create their own outline for their own essay. There'll be research involved. They'll have class discussions. And then they'll be put in a position to create their argumentative essay independently.
So more engaging than...
Much more engaging and connected to an area of the curriculum that they're already studying.
Which gets to the disruption piece that everybody's talked about. Go ahead, Sam. I know you want to jump in there.
I was just going to say, in order it can seem very abstract to people when you describe what these look like. They are on the English side, it's argumentative writing was a big – I was watching these getting scored on Friday. Argumentative writing was a big thing that I saw. A lot of essays being written. So students would be provided with a number of sources to read and then integrate those, cite them in order to make an argument for or against something. I saw essays being written, for instance, about whether or not people infected with Ebola should be allowed to come back into the country.
Okay, that's a hefty topic.
Indeed. And that was a high school, that was a 10th grade assessment. And then, you know, on the math side, it can be a big multi-part question that you do over the span of a whole class period. But another one that I saw, for instance, is, this is in geometry. your community is growing at X rate of speed, uses this much water per person per day, design a water tower that has this shape that'll hold enough volume to supply your community. And so you can see that, you know, you need to know the how to calculate the volume of that water tower. You need to know how to you know, multiply the equation for the growth of your community and meet the needs for X year. I mean, they're complicated questions that take a lot of steps and a lot of thinking in order to parse out what you need to know in order to answer it.
Yeah, but I can see how that's a bigger reflection of thinking instead of just, you know, oh, I'm lucky. I filled in C or B on this test. I can see you want to jump in, Ellen, and then let's go back to our callers.
Well, I just Sam participated or observed our practice, actually, of the assessment. So the level of engagement and professional development that's going into developing these, we haven't given the PACE assessment yet. That'll take place in the next few weeks in the same window as the Smarter Balance. So our teachers are really practicing their ability to calibrate and score together. In the session that Sam's referring to, all the districts were together as representatives doing that work collaboratively.
So I could say that your kids are off the hook this week, unlike other kids in New Hampshire, but it doesn't sound like they're off the hook. That's a complicated problem that Sam outlines.
Yes, I think that one could definitely argue that the expectations for students in doing a performance assessment are significantly more challenging.
And it's part of their grade.
And it's part of their grade.
Unlike the other tests, which are sort of aside, and some kids take them seriously and some kids blow them off.
And because it's competency education, after the assessment has taken place and it's gone on for accountability, those students are still required back in their classroom, back for their grade, to rework and make sure that they're competent if they struggled with that question.
Let's take another call. Again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the email is exchange@nhpr.org. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Up next is Beth in Portsmouth. Hi, Beth. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling about the assessments for the older children, specifically the ones who are juniors in high school. One of your panelists addressed the SATs a little bit. My comment is that the testing comes at the same time at my son's school, where they're getting ready for final exams and where most kids are taking SATs. The SATs really matter, and the final exams really matter, and they're old enough to understand that these tests have no bearing on their future. So it's very, very hard for them to take them seriously, and it takes a lot of time away from class time that could be spent preparing them for SATs and their final exam.
So, Beth, you're in Portsmouth. You're not in one of these districts that is experimenting, but it sounds like that's the complaint, right, Aubrey? She's talking about what part of the problem is.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what the problem is that there's really no flexibility in when students can take these tests. So even if it is while they're preparing for their final exams and they're taking their SATs, it doesn't really matter. There's not a whole lot of flexibility.
Did you want to jump into
it? Yes, I think, too, that one of the things in this whole process, No Child Left Behind, all of the waiver pieces, you know, I think what New Hampshire's tried to do is take into account the learner and what they need here, because this caller is spot on. Not only are they taking the SATs and doing final exams, but they're also taking AP exams. There are several components that the junior class particularly get hit with at this time of year, and I think one of the things about PACE is that understanding the needs of the learner, that they have a right to have time spent working on things that matter to them, that move them forward, progress them as learners, rather than spending a lot of time taking a snapshot that, again, doesn't translate into something that they really do care about.
Well, and as you said just a minute ago, Ellen, under PACE, some of these assessments actually do count toward that grade.
They
so it's a little more of an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to jump in, Aubrey?
Yeah, and I was going to, I mean, we've done a lot of kind of bashing of Smarter Balance, but I think it is an important tool. And I think if you talk to most teachers, they would say it's an important tool. But if you're in a situation like your caller is describing, those students aren't going to take it very seriously. So then the usability of that tool and that data becomes really questionable. And I think the whole reason we have Smarter Balance and these standardized tests is to really ensure that, you know, are we really meeting these benchmarks? You know, because if you allow schools
We don't trust them, of course. But if you allow them to be individualized, they could, you know, fall off the radar. And Smarter Balanced and those standardized tests are really trying to make sure that we're keeping that same benchmark for all students. But again, the problem has been in how it's been implemented.
Yeah, and I'll add to that a little bit. I worry about the student who takes all of it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working really hard to study for their SATs. They got their final exams. They got their AP. And now they're probably going to work themselves really hard on the Smarter Balance also. That's a lot to ask a student to do and expect them to do well on all those things.
Thanks for calling in, Beth. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Sam, go ahead, jump in.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that we've been talking about the PACE and versus the Smarter Balance, and what it needs to be said that PACE, the way that the state has envisioned it right now, eventually all of the schools in the state will eventually take up this program. There's no timeline for that. Right now it's 4 districts. We've been told there's 4 more districts waiting in the wings that will join next year probably. Every 2 years this pilot has to be reapproved. So if things aren't going well, the federal government could pull the plug. But eventually you could see Portsmouth High School also under the same, you know, this would become the statewide assessment.
How is this assessment, this PACE, and I want to just keep explaining what it is for folks who didn't tune in at the beginning of the hour. How, Aubrey, is this assessment, this alternative assessment, conducted? Is it done in school? Is it something you take home? Do you get a week? Do you get a month? What is it?
I think, Ellen, you might be better able to explain this, but I think it's really the whole goal of the program is to really give trust in schools and teachers to be able to design the assessments that are most appropriate to the curriculum. So if it does mean that they need to take longer, giving them that time, whereas in a smarter, balanced approach, you don't have that option.
You get your 8 hours and you sit down and you do
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, these assessments are summatives. They mean something. They're important to the curriculum. They're important to a student's grade. They are not something that they're going to bring home to do. They're going to be done in the classroom. And supervised by teachers, and the students are working independently to do them. So it's a true measure of the student's individual competency.
So they're not done at home where mom and dad can say, let me help you out with that.
Yeah, they're in the classroom, and appropriately, they're observed by teachers, and the scaffolding that goes into preparing students to ultimately take the summative. I mean, one of the things in being a PACE district you had to agree to as part of the beginning process was that, one, that you adopted the competencies for the state of New Hampshire, two, that you agreed that you would create assessments that would be shared that would have this level of rigor and that they would be administered in certain ways. We have a collaborative partnership together.
With the other 3 districts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. More questions after a short break. And where, as Sam alluded to, this program may go from here. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we look at the science of sugar. You can join us by sending us an email before the program, exchange@nhpr.org, finding us on Twitter or Facebook. Right now, you can give us a call. We're talking about education reform here in the Granite State, a new program called PACE that allows 4 districts under a pilot program not to do standardized testing every single year, giving kids a break every other year or so and allowing them to do other broader, more in-depth assessments. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Sam, a couple other questions for you. Earlier in the show, you fit us into the broader context, No Child Left Behind, Common Core, Smarter Balanced, and some of the language that we've heard floating around. How does what we're talking about today, this alternative to the standardized test in New Hampshire, which is an exciting idea for a lot of people, how does this fit into some of the bills we've seen at the State House, Sam, aimed at allowing school districts to opt out of the Common Core testing?
Well, I'd say a lot of the bills that are before the legislators this year are not particularly substantive. You'd see, for instance, one was just recently passed through the House that said school districts don't have to implement the Common Core state standards. Well, you know, technically, that's already the case. School districts can adopt whatever set of standards they'd like. They're still tested on the Common Core state standards. So even passing a new law that says you don't have to adopt the Common Core, that doesn't change the fact that you're still taking the smarter balanced and you're still going to be assessed based on those standards. So there's a lot of bills that have been like that. And I think that any bill that tries to explicitly say a school doesn't have to take the smarter balanced, doesn't have to take the federally mandated accountability measure under No Child Left Behind is going to face a lot of pushback, because that would be a change that could result in schools losing federal dollars and it, you know, it would have real impact. So I think you know, unfortunately for those who would like to see change happen at the state level, state lawmakers don't have a great number of levers they can pull to change the way education policy in this regard is implemented. It really has to happen at the congressional level, the U.S. Congress.
So that would require the U.S. Congress saying, you know, we're done with this No Child Left Behind thing. States, you're on your own.
Yeah, and there was, you know, at the beginning of this year, there was a lot of noise that it might actually get rewritten. You know, I'm not a reporter down in D.C., so I don't know exactly what's happening down there right now, but the coverage I've seen right now seems to indicate that has stalled out once again, and who knows when it'll get restarted.
And aren't some districts in New Hampshire, Sam, also allowing parents to let their kids opt out of the Smarter Balanced tests?
Right. Both Nashua and Manchester have indicated to parents that if you miss testing, it will be an excused absence. You know, if you missed this test, you know, if you got sick during the Smarter Balanced, for instance, it was already the case that was going to be an excused absence. You get a doctor's note. It's not a big deal. Your grade doesn't suffer. It's just these districts are making it explicit that you can keep your kid home.
And you don't have to have him or her do this. How striking is that, Sam, given that these are the two biggest districts in New Hampshire?
Well, you know, it's something that you've seen across the country. You've seen sort of parents starting these opt-out movements where they're asking kids, you know, even kids that are sitting in the classroom, they're saying, get your test and then just put your pencil down and don't take it. And it's just part of this pushback, again, that we've seen to No Child Left Behind. That typically has not really, you know, the pushback hasn't been as strong in New Hampshire just because we tend to do better on our tests than a number of other states. But I think what you're seeing is that national you know, that national dialogue finding a home here in the biggest districts where they have the biggest problems with their achievement gap.
Well, and we do hear presidential candidates coming into New Hampshire. And I know, again, this isn't your beat, Sam, but we do hear this being injected into 2016 presidential
Yeah,
politics.
Certainly, especially on the Republican side, opposition to Common Core has become sort of a litmus test for your, you know, to prove your conservative credentials. So certainly that's something that people talk about.
Our phone number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Here's an email that came in from Ryan, and there are a couple questions in here that I want to ask you all about. Ryan says, with students looking to apply to college after a New Hampshire education, how do you deal with grades? Is an A student someone who demonstrates more competency faster? What will a college do in terms of admission with someone assessed under PACE without typical grades or class rank? He's got a couple other questions, but let's deal with that those first. I think, Aubrey, there's some confusion that competency-based, and I hear this among other parents too, it's not just Ryan, that competency-based is something squishy and it doesn't have a grade attached.
Well, and I think that's a common misconception. And I think typically if you're really going for competency education, you're moving away from those traditional letter grades and you're really doing a much more standards-based report card. So the report card is much more detailed and provides much more information on exactly what students know and are able to do.
Okay, my kid goes to a competency school, one of them, and he still gets grades.
Right. So a lot of districts, because of the pushback that they've received from parents and from students who are legitimately concerned about college applications, scholarship applications, have really tried to transform some of those standards-based grades into letter grades so that it's, you know, more readable than what we're used to. But I think that's the movement forward, is to really try and move away from those letter grades.
So to answer Ryan's question, what is a college admissions person to think when he or she sees a transcript and it has no grades on it.
Right. So there's a number of colleges that have signed on to say that they will accept standards-based report cards. The New England Secondary Schools Consortium has a list of all of those colleges, higher ed institutions that have signed on that, yes, we will do this. And I know Sanborn has, you have a letter that you send out with your report cards that helps college admissions actually transcribe what this report card means.
And we've been a competency-based organization for 6 years, and we have grades, we have class rank, and we've received real favorable comments from the colleges in New England, particularly, who we've met with, who have said they really appreciate the competency grades that we give because they're separate from behaviors. Behaviors are a separate grade, class participation, doing your homework on time. Those things are very, very important, and they're separated out of the competency grade. The competency grade is a pure grade. It's what you really know about geometry that's part of the competency grade. So the email correspondence, that's not true. We do give grades. We do have class rank. And colleges are really responding really positively to our transcript.
No, it's a good question, Ryan. Sam, did you want to add in there?
I just want to your point about Concord, that, you know, 2017 is the deadline for having fully implemented competency-based education, right?
Everybody.
Right. So schools are at very radically different places with how much they've actually integrated this into their curriculum. So you have schools like Concord, which are sort of saying they're doing it and maybe just starting to experiment it. You have schools like Sanborn and Rochester, which have been doing it for years. They do it at every grade level. Their report cards are totally radically different from what you used to see. And they've sort of thrown out the 100-point scale, and we're just going to give you points and then average them up, and that's your grade.
Well, and here's the other half of Ryan's email, and I want to ask it and throw it to you, Aubrey, because it mentions something that you mentioned earlier with competency-based. You know, if a kid demonstrates competency in 3 months, then move him or her on. Ryan says, what about the social aspect of schools? What is a student who has mastered all the competencies by traditional sophomore year? Or do you put a struggling student, socially a senior, in a first-year class? This is getting very specific, but it is a good point. And it came up in my mind, too, when you were discussing, hey, if somebody gets it in 3 months, move them on. Move them on to where or to what? You don't want to put a 15-year-old in a senior class.
Right, right. And I think that isn't really happening in a lot of districts yet. I think that's the goal, is to move toward that. Boston Day and Evening Academy is one exception that I know of where they do have very radical regrouping of students based on what they know. So you could have a sophomore, a technical sophomore in a senior level English class if that's where their competency is. But I think it's one of the concerns that a lot of researchers have brought up too, is competency-based approaches are really going to have to think very carefully about how we group these students so you don't lose some of the very positive aspects of that social belonging and social sense of belonging that we have in a traditional, you know, this is my class, this is my junior class, and we're going to go to prom together. And so I think it's one of the things that a lot of districts are struggling with.
So you're sort of breaking up social groups by doing this. That's really interesting. It's a great question, Ryan. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email, exchange@nhpr.org. Here's an email from Rona. She says, I am very excited to hear of this conversation. Not only are the PACE competency assessments more meaningful to students and teachers, but they are teaching life skills, in capital letters, real life learning, including critical skills, collaboration, analysis, communication, decision making, etc. Something that is thrown out the window with all the focus on testing. Rona also says, not to mention that the kids will be engaged with their learning and will be tested on information that they actually learned in class with that teacher. And the current teacher will have immediate access to this information and can do something to remediate any holes in the student's learning, as opposed to testing, where the information goes to a pool of statistics that is not used until the following year. Let's pick up on that last point. And Rona, thank you for the email. Ellen, to you, the current teacher, I like the way she puts it, has the information right here, right now, and can do something about it right now.
Yes.
Instead of just throwing into the pool of statistics.
Right. And that really is the purpose of assessment, to find out where a student is as a learner and what they need. I mean, and to go to sort of the last comments about the students and where they are and moving them forward. And I think that competency education is about a balance. It's about a balance of personalizing education as well as maintaining social aspects of education. We're looking at, in our competency grading system in our high school particularly, the ability of some of our students to finish 2 years of college before they end high school. you know, to leave high school with an associate's degree because they're able to take on college coursework. So we're not holding back our advanced learners. We're not holding them back. We're offering them opportunities to show exemplary work. And in some cases, that might be working on a one-to-one personalized course, or it might be with a small group. So it's really school districts and schools themselves redesigning how they deliver education and instructionally to meet the needs of students, because this is about, this is a personalized game now if it's competency education.
So they're getting that credit that maybe in the past you would have gotten if you took AP English,
exactly,
for example. It sounds like it's broader than that. And boy, at a time when everybody's worried about the cost of higher education, mm-hmm, you can knock a couple courses out of the way before you even get there.
Our parents are pretty thrilled with the prospect of 2 years of college out of high school.
Yeah. Sam?
I just want to jump back to the point made in the email that the feedback from standardized tests. This is when we talk about the problems of standardized tests. This is one of the ones that people bring up frequently. Is that okay? You get this data, but it's months too late. You know, it's you've already, many teachers, the kids have gone on to another grade, and sure, you can help the next kids who come in, but often you're getting it in the fall, and you've already started teaching the next batch of kids. So there's two points to make on this. One is that Smarter Balanced has said that their scores will come back more quickly. And I think July, is that what they're saying? So we'll sort of see if that actually is the case, if teachers are able to get those scores back more quickly and then, you know, integrate what they learn into the next class that they get. But also the PACE assessment, the teachers themselves are grading it. So they know immediately how those kids are doing.
Because it's part of the regular old-fashioned classwork.
Right. And this actually, I would say from what I've observed, is the biggest challenge of this PACE program, is that you have to teach these teachers to all grade the same way across several districts. And I was told on Friday that you're sort of training them to be, you know, basically amateur psychometricians, which are the people who design these tests. And that's a big challenge. But also, if you're able to do it, it also is a great benefit to the practice of these teachers.
Well, and who knows better, really, how students think, work, test, learn, than a teacher right there in the classroom. And some would say better them than somebody at some, you know, fancy building off in who knows where.
And also those teachers know the context of their students' lives, which is another complaint frequently leveled at standardized testing grading, is that it doesn't take into account, you know, where these students are coming from and, you know, the whether or not they can understand the context of a question that maybe was written by someone in California.
Well, and Aubrey, so as this moves forward in these four districts, and as Sam said, there's four others waiting in the wings, what's your big hope and what might trip this whole new thing up?
Mm-hmm. I think what they're really trying to do with the PACE program is it's not getting out of the standard, you know, the Smarter Balanced test, but really amping up the rigor. I mean, these PACE exams, I think, could match or even surpass the rigor of the Smarter Balanced exam. And I think some of the things that could trip it up is just a general misunderstanding of, yes, we want to get out of testing, the Smarter Balanced testing. I think that could be a major trip up. I think misunderstanding of what they're trying to, the competency education piece of it, I think is a big component that we need to do a lot more in terms of educating everyone about what this means and what it could mean for our students.
Yeah, because a lot of people still don't really know what it means. And I'm not just talking about parents. I'm talking about students,
yes,
teachers, everybody.
Everybody, exactly. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions that really need to be addressed. And I think the state is really working very closely with teachers and putting trust in them and in the districts. And I think that's a really good move. And I think they're also providing a lot of support. But we've got to make sure that we're communicating it well to everyone.
How do you address, I'll throw this to you, I think, Ellen, the cynicism among some teachers, parents, administrators, you know, that this is just the latest fad. We've had Common Core, we've had No Child Left Behind, Smarter Balanced, Race to the Top, you know, I could go on and on. It just, at some point, education reform just starts to feel like flavor of the month.
Yeah, and I think in the case of PACE, PACE is really, I think, educators taking back some of what has been taken away from them in the last 10 years. Local educators, educators in the nation. I mean, I feel like this project has a lot of potential for other states looking at it. Teachers, for a long time now, have been taken out of the equation. And this partnership with PACE, with the state, it's reciprocal accountability. We are sharing accountability. We're offering up and being transparent with our assessments and saying to the state, we're willing to put ourselves and those assessments out there for accountability purposes because we have confidence in them. We have confidence in our teachers and their ability to create these assessments, and we know they have value. And I think the state, in partnering with us, is really really communicating that they have trust back with their teachers in the classroom. And it's a breath of a fresh air for our teachers who, you know, have been working really hard in a system where they're sort of crashing their head against a wall. Here we have control. We can work with our students. We can help them get better.
What's next, Sam, for most students in New Hampshire this spring? Just remind us in terms of standardized tests.
Yeah, sure. So most students this spring are going to be taking the Smarter Balance in the coming weeks. There will be a few students in the coming weeks who will be taking these PACE assessments, but most of them will, you know, are going to take the Smarter Balance, and I think you'll see a lot of the national debate about standardized testing and its effect on students coming home to here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we'll see what happens because we've been talking about it for a long time, but now this is the week. This is when it all kicks off.
Well, this is when it starts, yep.
All right. All of you, thank you so much for being here. Sam, thanks a lot for helping us out.
Thank you.
Sam Evans-Brown, NHPR's education and environment reporter. Aubrey, good to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
That's Aubrey Shona-Torres, research consultant for the Northeast College and Career Readiness Research Alliance and an assistant professor at St. Anselm College. And Ellen Hume-Howard, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Ellen Hume-Howard, curriculum director for the Sanborn Regional District. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Faith Meixel and Jason Moon. Our intern is Dylan Morrill. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.